Seated. We're going to spend a few moments thinking about that reading from Revelation chapter 3 that Betty very kindly read to us. You can find it on page 244 of the Church Bibles. And you might remember this is part of a series looking at seven letters spoken by Jesus to the early churches. And in some ways, they're a bit like school reports. There's some good and some bad in each of them. But not so in this one. This is completely bad. So that's always much more fun to listen to something that's completely bad, isn't it? What lessons might we learn from it? Jesus says, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And as we listen in to Jesus speaking to the church in Sardis 2,000 years ago, there's a lesson for us to learn as well. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that we would hear the lesson for our church today, as we think about the church in Sardis 2,000 years ago. Amen. How do you sleep at night? That's a genuine question. Have you got any wisdom on how to get to sleep at night, I wonder? Let me share with you my two top tips for falling asleep. One is that you need to switch off and stop thinking. That works really well. For me, what I tend to do is I read an encyclopedia article about something really, really boring, like life in a village in the Yukon, near that northern part of Canada where nobody lives. That tends to make me fall asleep, so that's worth doing as well. Switch your brain off, that's one way. Another way is to try and make yourself feel secure. Take yourself in your mind to your happy place. Have you got one of those, I wonder? An imaginary place in which you feel relaxed and secure. I can tell you what mine is after the service if you like, but you might think I'm a bit strange if I explain it to you all right now. Those are two great ways to get to sleep. Stop thinking and make yourself feel secure and relaxed. Well, this letter is written to a church that has no problem with feeling relaxed. This is a sleepy church. And Jesus' message to them is wake up. Wake up. They feel too secure, too relaxed. They don't think about anything, and so they are a sleeping church. And Jesus says, wake up. Things aren't as they seem, he says to them. You haven't finished yet. There's still everything to play for. And as we listen into this letter, could it be us who need to wake up as well? As Jesus says that to the church in Sardis, wake up, he says. Well, contentment is a great thing if you're trying to get to sleep. It's often said that before marriage, a man will go home and lie awake at night thinking about something his girlfriend said. Well, after marriage, he'll go to sleep before his wife has even finished saying it. Odd if you think that's true. Contentment is a great thing for sleep. And so it was that the church in Sardis felt very content. They had a great reputation, that's said of them, isn't it? In the first part of the letter there, it says, I know your works. You have a name for being alive, but you are dead. They've got a great reputation, and that makes them feel really secure, and that they don't really need to worry about trying very hard as a Christian. They've fallen asleep. They're too content. They're resting on their laurels, on their past achievements. There's something funny about the city of Sardis. Actually, I've given you a picture on the front of your church news sheet of the ruins of ancient Sardis. You might find it interesting to have a look at that. And you can see there that the ruined walls of Sardis are right on the top, on the edge of a mountainside. Sardis was an impregnable city. It was only invaded twice by the Romans and by Alexander the Great. And each time it was invaded because the inhabitants were caught napping. These are sleepy people. They thought, well, the walls around our city are so great. We've got such a great reputation as a city. There's no way anyone is going to break in here. And each time it was broken into, each time it was invaded, it was because soldiers from the enemy army crept up the cliff edge over the walls and opened the gates and allowed everyone in, caught the inhabitants napping. And the Christians in Sardis are napping as well because they feel too content in their good reputation And Jesus says to them, wake up, because actually you might think you've got a great reputation, but the reality is things aren't as they seem, and you haven't finished your work yet, says Jesus. So wake up. Jesus' words, I know your works. You've got a name for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is at the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect or complete or finished. That word means in the sight of my God. Wake up, says Jesus. You haven't finished yet. I guess having a good reputation doesn't mean that you can just retire and relax. Doesn't it? They didn't pay me to say this, but I think in Branscore, one of our best shops is the Village Pet Shop. It's got a great reputation, and it's very easy to see why if you've ever been there. I'm not trying to promote them as a business, but they are a great example of a place with a great reputation. When you go there, the man who runs it will stop at nothing to help you. You want a giant 10-gallon tin of zebra meat to feed your pet lion, he'll find it for you. He'll probably drop it off at your house after work as well if it's really big and heavy. He certainly does that with the pig food that we order from him. He is brilliant and deserves a good reputation. Of course, what they don't do with their good reputation is to think, oh, that's fine, we've earned our reputation, we can just relax now. And so you go along to the pet shop and you walk through the door and the place is a tip and it really, really stinks. It's obscene. There as you walk in, there's all the deliveries that haven't been put away yet. You tread over those and start walking through a load of rabbit food that's been spilt on the floor, crunching away as you make your way to the counter. You ask for your obscure products and the man behind the counter couldn't care less. He's not interested in helping you. As far as he's concerned, if it's not on the shelf, you can't buy it from him. It's not worth his time to make the effort. As far as he's concerned, you're so privileged to be in his shop with such a great reputation that he's not going to make the effort to help you. It'd be absurd, wouldn't it? Businesses don't do that. They know that a good reputation needs to be maintained. Having a good reputation doesn't let you off the hook. Everyone in business knows that, but a lot of Christians don't seem to realize it applies to them and their churches. You know, some of the laziest Christians are to be found at famous churches, churches with great reputations. Why do they love it, those lazy Christians? Well, at a famous church, you don't really need to talk to anyone. You don't need to make friends after the service, because that's not really what it's about. Everyone's just there because the music's really good. At a famous church, you don't really need to give any money because so many people are there. You're giving, it's a drop in the ocean. Makes no difference. So for the lazy Christian, it's ideal. For the lazy Christian, the famous church is great because you don't need to serve. People are paid to do that, and you can just kick back and do nothing. Lazy Christians love churches with fantastic reputations. Wake up, says Jesus. This is a message to you for older Christians. If you've been following Jesus for a number of decades, maybe you feel, well, I've put my time in times gone by. I've done my hours of volunteering. I've tried to think how much money I've given to the work of the church over the years. And I've done my bit. Now it's time for me to kick back and retire. Every time I hear about things going on, that's for somebody else to be bothered with. I've done my bit and I've retired from the Christian life. Well, Jesus says your works aren't complete. There's no time in the Christian life when you can retire, when you can sit back and do nothing. Wake up, says Jesus. So the question is, how do we stay awake as Christians? What's the solution to sleepiness? Well, it's good news that it's not drinking some obscene energy drink, Red Bull or Monster. Does anyone ever drink one of those? You've got a particularly hard day in front of you. Apparently a can of Monster has the equivalent caffeine to 5 cups of instant coffee and has about 20 teaspoons of sugar in it. Oh dear, you don't need to do that to stay awake as a Christian. Jesus explains what you need to do. He says in verse 3, "Remember then what you've received and heard, obey it and repent. If you don't wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I'll come to you." What's the secret to sticking it out in the Christian life? Well, it's remembering the message you heard at first, the basic message of the Christian faith, the gospel, that God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to win you as his child forever, to give you a life that you could never win, earn, or deserve. And he offers that not just to you, but to everyone in your street, everyone in your family, everybody you know. Well, with a message like that, there's no way we can retire, is there? Wake up, says Jesus. You've not finished yet. There's still work to be done. And there's still everything to play for, says Jesus. Now, there is one slightly good thing about this church in Sardis. The one slightly good thing is that this wake-up call doesn't apply to everyone. There are a few people there who are awake and who are serving. They haven't yet retired. Jesus says this in verse 4, "Yet you still have a few people in Sardis who've not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer," and now he's talking to the sleepy people, "if you conquer, you will be clothed in white like them, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels." There's still everything to play for, says Jesus. So wake up. Another good way to get to sleep is to be so content about things that you don't really care about them. That's one way to get to sleep. It's also a really good way to get dirty as well. So when I was a 10-year-old boy, my mum would give me a nice clean top to wear most days. And I guess I didn't really care whether it was clean or not. So when lunch would come round and I'd have a hot dog or something like that, I'd give it a big squeeze and the tomato ketchup drips down the front. I look at it and think, well, it's not that bad. Most of it's still pretty clean. I'll carry on wearing this. I go outside and play, fall over in the mud, get myself really covered in that. And I look at it and think, well, it's still pretty much clean. I don't really care. I don't have to wash this. I don't care if I embarrass mum or dad by going somewhere dirty, looking like some neglected child. Doesn't really matter to me. Perhaps worst of all, though, as a 10-year-old boy, I had a terrible habit, which maybe some 10-year-old boys you know have as well. I used to wipe my nose with my sleeve, and I'd probably look at it and think, well, it doesn't look that bad. In certain lights, you can't really see it at all because it's quite shiny, and I don't really care. Not really caring is a great way to get to sleep. It's also a great way to get dirty. And that is the picture Jesus uses of the sleepy Christians in Sardis. They've got dirty clothes because they just don't really care about living for Jesus today. And Jesus says to them, wake up, get back in the game, because there's everything to play for still. To the one who's victorious, Jesus says, you will be clothed in white. God will look at you and see you flawless, confessed before the Father and the angels. In other words, there'll be a day, says Jesus, when you'll stand in heaven before God and he will say this. He'll say, "This is Anna," or whatever your name is. "This is Anna. She was not ashamed of me when everyone else turned away. She did not give up, even when the pressures of family, work, and old age took their toil. She stood her ground and was victorious. She is to be honored in my kingdom. Remember her name. It must never be forgotten." There's still everything to play for, says Jesus. "To the one who is victorious, I offer glory and status and affirmation and praise. To the one who triumphs, to the one who sticks it out in the Christian life. And that can be you. Stay awake," says Jesus. "Stay in the game. It's not time to retire. There's still everything to play for. Let the one with ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen."